It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, April 25th, 2016. I'm Patricia Naft. Last week, Montrose County Commissioners signed an ordinance that opens up a massive trail system to motorized recreation. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Rimrocker Trail is now fully accessible to OHVs. Connecting Moab to the area outside the city of Montrose, it covers red rocks, sprawling hills, national forests, climbing over 10,000 feet and over 160 miles long.
It's not the anticipation that folks are going to do it all in a day, although they're free to have a go at it if that's what they're up to.
That's John Washbush, the Government Affairs Director for Montrose County. He's been working on this project for a while.
When you look at how many jurisdictions in terms of public lands agencies and national forest and two different states and three different counties have been involved, there's definitely been some legwork and a little permitting, and it's been a good group effort by those involved parties, and we're looking forward to seeing it come to reality this summer.
Some parts of the 160-mile trail are on county roads, but a recent ordinance passed by the county commissioners allows visitors to ride their off-highway vehicles on those specific sections of county road. Making things easier for visitors is good for the West End.
Outdoor recreation is big business in terms of tourism, and the OHV use and the motorized use is a big portion of some of the visitation that we see for outdoor recreation. It's an activity that a lot of folks participate in, a lot of folks enjoy, and they tend to spend well in the communities that they're visiting. So it's really a project that we think is a good introduction to some areas of particularly the West End that don't get visited as much as they could be.
Washbush says he's already fielding a lot of calls about people interested in the Rim Rocker. He also notes that it's not just for OHVs. They've seen a lot of interest from bikers, too. The county has plans to develop the trail further in hopes of making the Rim Rocker not only a better trail, but a better destination. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Lawmakers in both parties have unveiled a proposal to bring a presidential primary back to Colorado. As Benta Berkland reports, a measure is expected to be introduced in the coming days.
Colorado would still keep the caucus system for state house races, U.S. Senate, and congressional races, but would add the primary for the presidential contest. Registered Republicans and Democrats would automatically receive a mail-in ballot, while others would be given the option of temporarily registering with a party. Republican Representative Tim Dore of Elizabeth is a sponsor of the bill.
It's balanced, it's common sense, it's going to provide Coloradans an opportunity to participate more directly in the nominating process of the candidates for our nation's highest office.
But opponents, including Curtis Hubbard with the Let Colorado Vote campaign, say it wouldn't go far enough. His group is pushing for a ballot measure.
We shouldn't create two classes of voters. What this bill proposes to do, it forces unaffiliated voters to take additional steps, meaning they're sent a postcard, they have to return the postcard, they have to affiliate with a party that they may not choose to affiliate with.
More than a third of Colorado's voters are unaffiliated. Adding a presidential primary is estimated to cost as much as $7 million. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A recent report looking at childhood poverty in Colorado shows things are improving in the state. To find out more, KVNF's Laura Pomisano talked with Sarah Hughes, the research director for the Colorado Kids campaign.
What's the big takeaway from the report this year?
I think the biggest takeaway from the Kids Count report this year is that Colorado's child poverty rate declined for the second year in a row. And this is actually the first back-to-back decline that we've seen in our state's child poverty rate in more than a decade. For a long time, during much of the first decade of the 2000s, we saw steadily increasing numbers of kids in poverty in Colorado. At one point, it was as high as 18%. So that's about one in six children across the state that was living in poverty. And to put that in context, poverty is, for a family of four, making less than about $24,000 a year. So these are families that are likely really struggling to be able to make ends meet, to pay for things like childcare or healthy food, for example. And so the fact that we saw the poverty rate decline again in 2014 to 15% was very encouraging, and I think it's a good thing for overall child well-being.
So childhood poverty in Colorado is going down, and the report also shows more kids are insured. But what are some main areas of concern?
One of the biggest areas of concern that we saw this year was an increase in the number of homeless children in many communities. So in Denver County, for example, the number of homeless kids went up by 40%. It went up by almost 70% in Mesa County. In addition to that, we still have 1 in 4 Colorado kids living in a household in which no parent has secure full-time employment. So even though that poverty rate is going down, we are seeing some additional concerning trends when it comes to economic security.
What do you think is behind that increase in homelessness?
I think one of the primary driving factors behind the increase in homelessness is just the increasing cost of housing in Colorado. Many, many areas around the state have had high housing costs for a long time, and I think particularly in these years after the recession, as we've seen Colorado's economy doing a bit better, those home prices have just continued to go up, and rent has gone up as well. And so I think we have a lot of kids and families that are really struggling to find affordable places to live in this housing market.
What could be done to help address this issue in places like Mesa County?
You know, I think there's just a need statewide for more affordable housing. Housing is one of those issues that can impact every single aspect of a child's life. So if they're homeless or even if they're doubled up with another family, that's going to have significant impacts on their health and their education as well. So really ensuring that there is affordable housing available in these communities will go a long way toward improving overall child well-being.
In the KVNF listening area, did anything stand out in the report?
What stood out for me when I looked at the data for the listening area was that even though at the state level we've seen the child poverty rate go back down to its pre-recession level, the poverty rates in many of the counties included in your listening area, so Delta County, for example, still remain far above what they were in 2007 before the recession hit families. So in Delta County, for example, 23% of kids were living in poverty in 2014, and that's significantly higher than what we saw in 2007 when 18% of kids are living in poverty. And so I think in many of the rural areas of the state, your listening area included, we're really not seeing the effects of the economic recovery reaching all kids.
That was Sarah Hughes with the Colorado Kids Campaign talking with KVNF's Laura Pomisano. Last week, the U.S. Senate passed the first comprehensive energy bill in almost a decade. As Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce reports for Inside Energy, the bipartisan bill largely avoided controversial energy topics like climate change.
The bill is wide-ranging, addressing everything from grid cybersecurity to training the energy workforce of the future. But it's notably lacking in a larger policy vision. Wyoming and Colorado lawmakers pushed for several provisions in the bill, including one that would expedite permitting for exports of liquefied natural gas. The bill also establishes a program within the Department of Energy to research and develop new technologies to reduce carbon emissions from the burning of coal. The House and Senate will have to reconcile their two different versions of the bill before it can be sent to the president. For Inside Energy, I'm Stephanie Joyce.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.